Good morning. It's good to have all of you here. Great to see your faces this morning. I'm going to ask you to take God's word. If you will, let's open it up to the book of Acts, chapter 15, in verse 11. It's a great day to be on the hill because we're going to start a new series. It's going to take us through the Christmas season. And if you notice, we've entitled it Christmas Is. And you know, when we walk in something on a consistent basis, it's always good to kind of pull back from time to time and just kind of look at it in some different lights and make sure that we're staying on target with what it's all about. I don't think there's anything more necessary than that, than the celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do. Now, I want to start this morning by reading Acts chapter 15, verse 11. I want to read it from the Message version of God's Word. I'll do this at different times, simply because of the points that it makes and the way that it works. But the truth is still the same regardless of what your version is. But Acts 15, 11, we're talking about Christmas is, first of all, generosity. And I'll tell you why I'm starting there in just a moment. But Acts 15, verse 11 says this: "We are saved because the Master Jesus amazingly and," now watch this, "out of sheer generosity, moved to save us." You know, one of the things that we learn and that we understand is biblical scripture is that salvation begins with Him. It begins with the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us, right? So the only reason my heart is set on heaven is because, first of all, God's heart was set on me. And the reality of you chasing after Him is, first of all, because He came after you. It's one of the two great truths taught in Scripture, and that is that salvation is all of the Lord, and yet, on the other hand, man is totally responsible for his response. Both of those are true, even though they seem like they can't even work together. They are both true, and it's laid out in Holy Scripture. The very fact that I can't understand that and grasp it completely just simply goes to the littleness of my mind. But God says it is reality. That's the way that it is. And so we celebrate that we are born again, first of all, because God was so tremendously generous toward us. And so today is the first Sunday in December. And my whole point is that by the time December 24th, which is on Sunday this year, and we've plastered it up everywhere showing you there are going to be new worship times that day, because those are going to be the only services we're going to be having on Christmas Eve, all right? So just be getting that in your mind. What we normally do at like 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, when we have our candlelight service, we'll be doing it in three services on Sunday morning, Christmas Eve. And so Sunday morning, Christmas Eve will be like Sunday night, Christmas Eve, all right? And so it's going to be a special day. We're going to be doing that, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do today. It's going to be a really great day. But by the time we get there, I want us to all be settled in a spirit of joy. And I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is something that happens to happen when everything that happens is happening to happen happily with me and with you. And life doesn't always work that way. Would you agree with that? Life sometimes just gets hard and rough. And we've been talking about that all through the month of November. And so I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is great, but that's not my focus. My goal during the month of December is for there to be this seated joy that is in you, that regardless of what is going on in your life, regardless of the way that your day is going, there is a joy down in your life, down in your heart, that makes your days just, you enjoy every day. You just enjoy it. Why? Because of what God is doing in your life. And that means that you and I are going to have to make some decisions. Because here's what I want you to understand. I am beginning with this subject, which probably surprises you. When I think about what Christmas is, we're going to talk today about Christmas being generosity. And let me just share with you why we're doing that. Because, you know, probably the one word that you hear at Christmas time more than any other word is the word gift. Would you agree with that? I mean, ever since Black Friday, America, from like coast to coast, has been in this mad rush to find the perfect right gift for just that perfect person. You know, and the stores are just absolutely crazy. Now, here's the interesting thing. People think that gift giving at Christmas was launched by the wise men. In fact, usually if you talk about gift giving at Christmas, you know, it eventually goes back to the wise men, those guys who came and brought those three gifts. Well, that would be a mistake if you think they're the first gift givers. Kind of like the little boy who made the mistake too when they asked him about the wise men. He said, you know, well, the wise men, those guys that brought baby Jesus those gifts of gold and Frankenstein and myrtle. You know, I remember growing up, I thought it was ground brown virgin. I mean, I didn't even know what some of that meant, you know. So stuff just gets messed up in your mind. And so we think that maybe the wise men were the first ones. But the Bible says that the first gift of Christmas was from our God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he what? He gave, right? That's the first gift of Christmas. God the Son gave himself. God the Son became the man, Jesus of Nazareth, so that he could die on the cross for my sins, so I could have three of the greatest gifts that I could possibly have during my lifetime. Number one, that Jesus died so that my past could be forgiven. And you and I know our past chases us. And we all have those regrets. And Jesus died so that, number one, our past could be forgiven. He died, number two, so that my present day could have a purpose. That I've got a reason for being alive. I've got a reason for throwing back the covers and putting my feet on the floor every morning. And I get that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number three, he died to give me something to look forward to in the future. He gave me a home. I've got a place that I am going to. And every time we have a funeral, every time that somebody dies, we get to celebrate where they've gone, that they've gone to their home. They've gone to that place that the Lord made for them. So Christmas is all about generosity. John chapter 1, verse 16 in the Message says this. Now listen, we all live, all of us, we all live off God's generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. What is God saying? God is simply saying, every day of my life, God is giving me things that I don't even realize he's giving me because they become such a regular part of our lives. But we have these things and they are gifts of the Father. And we are told that repeatedly. I'm going to give you, we're told that repeatedly throughout the Word. Now, why does God talk in the Bible again and again and again about giving? The reason God does it is because of this. God wants me and you to learn how to be like him. And that means God wants me to live a generous life. God is a giver. And when I become his son, when you become his son, you become his daughter, God says, you have inherited from me. I'm going to take care of you. And I want you to begin to reflect me. I want you to learn to be generous. And as you are generous, I'm going to continue to flow into your life one generosity after another. Now, here's the reason why God is doing that. Because God knows that you and I are placed in a society, in a culture of consumerism. And it is very easy for me, as you would agree, it's easy for you as well, to become selfish. We can become self-centered. And we live in this type of culture. But here's an insight I want to give you. Look in your outline. Generosity is a skill that can be learned no matter what the culture is. One of the things I want both of my boys when they were growing up, I wanted them to learn how to be generous. I wanted them to learn to share with each other. God's the same way. He said, I want you to learn to be generous. I want you to learn how to share with others. And so he wants this, and not just as a seasonal thing, but as a lifestyle. And so that's what I want us to learn this Christmas season, that more and more you and I will be a generous church of people. Because God says, as you are generous, my generosity will pour into your life. And the reason that I'm focusing on this, the reason I believe God has just put this in front of us is this. Because one of the things God has shown me is there's only two types of people in the world. Those that are givers and those that are takers. And I'm going to be one or the other. And so are you. And every one of us gets to decide how we're going to be identified. So I want you to think about, how would you be identified this morning? Would you be identified by other people as a giver, or would you be identified as a taker? You can be a taker, and you can live a self-centered life. But I want to remind you of something. It is no coincidence that the word miser and miserable come from the same root word. In other words, what God is saying is, when you and I are tight-fisted and we hang on to everything and we don't pour out generosity toward other people, when we become a taker, the more of a taker I am, the more miserable I'm going to be. Joy comes from being like the Father, being generous. So here's the message. Why be generous? That's a great question. I'm so glad you ask great questions. So let me answer them. Number one in your outline, generosity is a primary theme of Scripture. There's a word study, where studies are done all the time in God's Word. One of the word studies was with regards to giving. And here's what they found. The word believe is used in the Bible 272 times. The word pray is used 371 times. Love is used 714 times. The word give, are you ready for it, is used 2,162 times. It is not a stretch to say our Father in heaven wants us to learn generosity. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29:14. This is all the way in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 29:14. Everything we have comes from you, Lord, and we can only give back to you what is yours already. So when we give to God, when we are generous, we are most like him, because generosity began with God. That you and I have everything we have because God has given it to us. And you see, that's the attitude the Father wants to hear from you when you're on your knees in prayer, when you bow in prayer, when you talk to him. God wants to hear from you and from me that we realize everything we have comes from him. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts, for your generosity to them, meaning giving to the poor, will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, let me go back. I want to read that again. And I want you to listen to what he said. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts, because your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what God just said. I've never seen this before. Look at the truth in your outline. One of the proofs that I am a believer is generosity. I had never seen that. A lot of times you wonder, okay, is somebody really born again? Do you realize that God has just said that one of the signs, one of the proofs, it's not conclusive, but one of the evidences that will be in the life of a truly born-again child of God is this element of generosity. So if I am truly born again, being generous is a challenge all the way through my life, that there's going to be this working of the Holy Spirit in me about me being a giver. And that's the reason why every Sunday morning I have this standard thing inside of me about making out a check to give my tithe to the church. That's just what I like to do. You know, that's kind of my generational thing. If you want to use automatic draft out of your banking account, that's fine. And whatever God moves upon you to do, and whatever you like to do. But the whole thing is, it's something that is part of our life. And we do that because there is this motivation inside of me. I cannot receive, I cannot hear when missions or somebody else talks about that there is a need for people in our city who are needing food. That's one of the reasons that we have the food pantry. I could not do that when I saw what was happening in our city and the need that was there. It's like something I couldn't get away from. Every time we do something and we're giving out, that is because it's something I and the other pastors, we can't get away from. And that should be the same way with you. And it's picking up speed in our fellowship. Why? Because it's becoming a way of life. All right, so number two, generosity remedies selfishness. It is the primary theme of Scripture, and it remedies, or it is a cure for selfishness. You know, one of the great signs that Catherine and I live in a materialistic culture, in fact, we were talking about it the other day, that's why it's in the message, is one of the signs of the culture that we're in is that we get a catalog from somebody, and I'm like, how did you find me? Who gave you my name? I don't even know who you people are. And I get like a 30-page catalog of stuff I have never ordered and I don't even want. And it keeps coming in my mailbox. Is anybody, are any of you with me? You know what I'm talking about? You're doing the same thing too. They're cutting down a lot of trees. And we receive this every day. And here's the reason why. Let me give you look at the consideration in your outline. Think about your time spent looking through a catalog every week. Sometimes it's just insane. Well, the answer is to not do it. We're getting more and more, especially after this message, more and more where you just, you pull it out and your first thing when you come back from the mailbox or whatever is to go by the trash can and drop it in or recycle if you're really like that with me. So there's this huge warning in Scripture about you and I being selfish or being self-centered. Proverbs 18, verse 1. It is selfish and, now listen, stupid to think only of yourself. That's a contemporary English version. It is selfish and stupid to think only of yourself. So the first thing God says is, it is a sin to be self-centered and selfish all the time. But then God also says it is not a smart move on your part. Now let me tell you why that word is put in there. What God is saying is when you live a selfish life, it is going to cause other problems in your life. In other words, God says, if you do this, this is what's going to start to happen. This is the ultimate consequence. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 18. The greedy set an ambush for themselves. And what that simply means is they set themselves up for failure. They build a trap for themselves. It says they booby-trap their own lives. It is the fate of all who are greedy. It ends up robbing them of life. We can get so busy making a living, trying to get more, going through all those catalogs, wanting to get this and wanting to get that. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. We get so busy trying to get more and more that we forget about making a life. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves miserable. And so what I'm saying is for you and I to think, is the reason that I may not be enjoying life, not because God is not present, but because I am living a selfish lifestyle. And I haven't even realized it. Another version of Proverbs 1:18 says, the more you get, the less you are. What does that mean? Here's the translation. Greed makes me miserable. Generosity is the cure. And what God is even saying is, this is the way He's made the universe. God has made the universe to work better with generosity. Selfishness produces miserableness. Every time I give. Every time you give, do you know what happens? You break the hold of materialism in your life. You do a countercultural move when you give to the Lord, when you give to some charity, when you give to the poor. Any generosity on your part and my part breaks the hold of materialism in our lives. Because here's the reason why. I looked at the truth in your outline. Generosity is the only antidote for materialism. Let me just say something here. When the boys were growing up, both of my boys, mine and Catherine's, both of them are tithers. Both of them are givers beyond the tithe. Now, true, I am Kristen's pastor, and so I kind of keep my eye on that. I'm watching that. But I'm not Joel's. Joel is 6 hours away from me. And yet, his life and Kristen's life mirror each other. And all I'm simply saying is, both of those boys, for as long as they were under my roof, saw their dad every week, 52 weeks a year, write out a tithe check to the Church of Jesus Christ. They saw it. They saw Catherine and I be givers to the building fund. They saw Catherine and I be givers to missions. And all I'm simply saying is, generosity can be passed on to the next generation to a great extent simply by an example. They need an example. And if you have got the heart of your child, that's what I talk about, parents keeping the heart of their child. Whenever you've got the heart of your child, then they are watching you. They're listening to you. You are the standard by which they judge things. And so if you've got the heart of your grandchild, if you've got the heart of your child, give them the example of generosity. Let them see it. My boys know we tithe. They knew it was 10% of my income, at least that. They knew that. And your child, your grandchildren, it would be good for them to know how much you give in relationship to your income, all right? That it is a tithe to the Lord. Number three, generosity is a welcome mat for God. What I want to do, my point this morning is, what does generosity do to my life? What is the kickback, all right? Why do I do it? It is a welcome mat for God. And here's the deal. If somebody you didn't know on Sunday morning here, which is not something that you know, it very definitely could happen. Somebody walks up to you that you don't know, and right out of their mouth, they say, listen, I don't know why, and I want you to right off the bat, I'm not expecting anything in return. But I can't get away from this. I just feel like this is something that I need to do. I want to give you this. And you look down, and they're giving you $100. Now, I got a question for you. Would you not feel, just like that, automatically closer to a person that you don't even know what their first name is? Would that not be true? I mean, all of a sudden, it's like some doors have opened up. You would feel closer to them. This is where it's like, you know, I kind of like to get to know that person. And here's the reason why. Here's the insight. In God's universe, it is set that generosity creates a bond. That's something that God has done. I want you to follow me. I want you to think about this, because many of us have been, you know, you want to be closer to the Father. I want you to understand this. Generosity creates a bond. That's what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 6:21, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Your heart is where your treasure is. Look at the truth in your outline. Our hearts are drawn toward the direction of our giving. I want to tell you where your heart is today. Your heart is wherever the greatest amount of your money is being put. If the greatest part of your giving is to your business, that's where your heart is. If the focal point of your giving is toward a boat or a lake house or hunting, I'm not speaking against any of that. I'm not talking against it. I am simply saying, if that is the focal point of your giving, your leisure plans, that's where your heart is. Here's the insight. Every time we give to God, it draws our heart closer to Him. That's why we invite people every month, month after month of the month, become a member. Become a member here on the Hill. Why? Because membership is the difference between watching from the bleachers and getting down and playing on the field. And football is a whole lot more fun, so I've heard, on the field, all right? So here's the truth in your outline. Being a member means you participate. You don't watch from the sidelines. And being generous as a church member means you join in financially to help us keep the lights on. You support ministry. You support missions. Do you know right now Harmony Hill has 5 mission points that we are directly operating in? 5 mission points around the world and here in the United States. And you help us build the buildings for growth. So God is saying that generosity is a primary Bible theme. It is a cure for selfishness. It is a welcome mat for God. It draws me closer to Him. 4, it increases my faith. People say it all the time, I want to grow in my faith. The number one way God increases our faith is by our finances. Every one of us, if you are seeking after the Lord, then I want you to know God is many times going to test you with finances. And the question is, am I going to trust God or am I going to worry myself sick? You know why? Because every one of us at some time or another comes to a financial challenge. I do, you do. I mean, it's what happens. We come to some kind of financial challenge. You know, there is always something in life that money cannot take care of. Would you agree with that? I mean, it is. It can't do it. And so life can always be a challenge. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Your giving proves the reality of your faith. And so my generosity or lack of it proves the health of my faith in the Lord. We've had 3 different significant building initiatives in my 45 years of ministry here on the Hill. Every one of them has stretched me, scared me, because they were big. Each one increased Catherine and my faith in trusting God with our finances. Why? Because each time we would commit more than we'd ever given before. And here's what Catherine and I have learned. You cannot outgive Him. You can't. It's impossible. You cannot outgive God. I feel sorry for stingy people, for Grinches, Scrooges, people who are afraid to give to the point that if God doesn't do something, we're going to be in trouble. Why? Because that's what moves the Lord. And here's what I want you to know. God promises to bless me financially, and He's very clear in the Word about that, and it's called, if you will, the law of the harvest. Let me give it to you. The law of the harvest is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Here it is. Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So there are 2 laws. What are they? Law number 1, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. In other words, whatever I have a need, if I want that need met, now listen to me, because this does not, it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. If you have a financial need, if you want the financial need met, you need to give financially. If you are tired, some of you are saying, I am worn out. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. But you're just like, I am worn out. You know what you need to do? You need to give yourself in ministry. Why? Because of the law of the harvest. If you're like, I don't have any friends, law of the harvest says you got to be a friend to somebody. So you start out being a friend to somebody. If I want God to bless me financially, if you want God to bless you financially, you need to be a giver with your finances to Him. That's why we always encourage tithing, giving a tenth of our income. Why? So that God will bless us financially, so that we will be a blessed church financially. We tithing is baseline. That's where we start. And you see it every day in life. Farmers who want corn. If they've got sacks and sacks of corn in the barn, but they want more corn, they don't get corn until they give away what they've got. If they want more, they've got to take that corn seed and they've got to plant it, they've got to release it and give it away to the soil, and then they gain increase. Why? Because we reap what we sow. That's just a principle. Law number two is we reap more than we sow. This is where it gets exciting. One kernel of corn put in the ground produces a stalk, right? Corn stalk that has like maybe three or four ears of corn on it, and that one kernel of corn has multiplied itself maybe over 1,000 times. It's absolutely incredible. And so that is what God is saying. When I give my money, when I give my time, when I give my energy, whatever, that's what God returns to you in the blessing. So here's the memory. Look in your outline. Remember, giving primes the pump of receiving. It primes the pump of receiving. That's how I do it. That's how it happens in any of our lives. All of the stories of God providing, provisionally taking care of his people always goes back to a story of people giving. They start out giving in order to receive from the Lord. That's how it all begins. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share something with you. I am as convinced today as I have ever been that God has a plan for this hill. It gets me up every day. It drives me into ministry. It moves me to get ready to preach the word here. That vision that he put in my heart, that this is going to one day be a church of 3,000 worshipers, is stuck in my heart, and I cannot get away with it. And I want to tell you what God is just beginning to kind of formulate in my heart, things that I'm just beginning to believe that we're the church that we're going to be, that we will be more and more a church that attracts unchurched families through the ministry of our children on the hill. I am so glad, I am so privileged this morning to have on staff with us Jeffy Burns. I want you to know that woman is a jewel. Amen. Yeah. Jeffy is a hard worker, and she has an extreme love for children, and they sense it. And I want you to know when we are doing well in here, it is because of what she's doing up on the hill in our children's ministry. And families are being attracted to that. And they're wanting their kids involved in that ministry and what she's doing on Wednesday night. And then this coming Wednesday night, 3 days from now, is going to be her first Christmas musical in children's ministry. And I'm totally looking forward to that. And you definitely want to be a part of that. So notice that advertisement in everything that we're putting out here. So children's ministry is just doing a bang-up good job. And I want you to know that's our future. That is our future. That is what is one of the major hooks of reaching young people who don't have a church home. And that we have a student ministry through Pastor Todd Kaur that is instilling a love and an obedience to Christ for our young people. And the goal is to send young people to university campuses that come out of Harmony Hill, not just for a degree, but to impact lost students for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons that we're supporting the missionary endeavors of the work among students in the Northwest. Just what God is doing to establish churches and to win lost kids to Jesus Christ on the college campus. And through Pastor Ben, and I'm just doing this, we've got, it's in every area, but I'm just bringing up these three. We are more and more becoming a church with a missionary vision that is, in the future, will encourage families to relocate nationally. That God is going to call families to missions. And we will have families that will move to different mission points around the United States as well as overseas, internationally, for either short-term or indefinite missionary stints. And we will be a missionary-supporting church. My vision is that we will be a church with a vibrant Celebrate Recovery ministry. It is on my heart that God's going to raise up that ministry. We're going to have it here. And that helps men and women break addictive behavior and live a strong life for Jesus Christ. We're in one of the most addicted areas to drugs here in East Texas. And if we're going to be a church that's going to impact a community, we need to celebrate recovery ministry here on the Hill. And that's a desire in my heart. We're looking to that and praying toward that. And be a church that proactively works to launch healthy new marriages. I want us to be countercultural, and that we encourage young people and help them understand there is a damning effect to premarital sex. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Do you understand? That was really weak. I want you to know, okay? That was really weak. This is becoming a way of life in America, and it is destroying young people. That is why marriages are crumbling across America, because they come into those marriages defiled, never having asked God's forgiveness. And we need to be a church that helps stem the tide. We reverse that, we heal troubled marriages, and we stay the divorce epidemic. And that's just something that we become that kind of church that does that. And perhaps God is calling you this morning. There's somebody here this morning in our first service. He is calling you to be a part of His plan here on the Hill. God wants to bless your life. That is my message. That is what God has put in me. Deuteronomy 15 and 10. Give generously to others. Give in ministry, give in time, give in talent, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of that, the Lord will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to do. Is there ever a time in your life when you don't want God to bless you in everything you do? Is there anybody who doesn't want to be blessed in everything they do? But that is what God has said in the Word. If you want God to bless you in 2018, then don't be a taker, be a giver. Commit your life, commit your time, your talent, and your treasure. And do it again. Proverbs 11, 26. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Here's the invitation this morning. I want you to, this morning, if this is your heart, I want you to take a commitment card, a connect card that's in the chair in front of you, and drop it in. You can drop it at the information desk, take it to the library. You can bring one down here to me as you're getting ready to leave. There are two things I want to put on there. The number one, that you would say on there, I want to be a part of Harmony Hill Fellowship. I want to sign up for the next membership class, Life 101. And you clearly print your name and the best way to contact you, email, cell phone, whatever, and write that out on that Connect card. Or number two, that I with my name and address, I want to commit to being a giver to the ministries on the Hill. That I want to commit afresh to be a giver of my time, my talent, my treasure. I want to do that because I believe in the ministry that God is doing here on the Hill this morning. So I want you to stand together. Would you do that? And I'm going to ask you in just a moment, as after our announcements that we're getting ready to leave, that you'll take time to fill out one of those Connect cards. And you can either bring it to me or you can leave it at the information desk as you're leaving this morning. But I want to encourage you to do that because this is the first step of that Christmas spirit that God is wanting to do in our lives. And that is that we become generous people, that we overcome selfishness with generosity as we're led by the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I want to thank you this morning. God, thank you for the Word. Thank you for what you've taught us. And now, Lord, thank you for the leadership of your Spirit. That there are ways that you want generosity to work through each of us. There are things that you're wanting us to do. There is a need all around us, such needs that can be met because as we give, you give into our lives. And there is this constant flow from heaven that is coming through us to meet the needs of others and to draw people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Generosity can help open up somebody's heart to the gospel. And Father, may we be that kind of church for you. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Please be seated, watch the announcements, and then you'll be dismissed.